it live.
You.
Do it live.
Me.
Them.
Everybody.
Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
Them.
Everybody. Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
You.
Do it live.
Please won't you be my neighbor. Neighbor and friend.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and this is You, Me, Them, Everybody. You're at a talk show, people. This is a talk show. Nice to see you. My name is Brandon. What's your name? Allie. Me and Allie are going to be best friends by the end of the night. Allie and I are going to bond. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to interview very interesting people. Interesting people, much more interesting than I am. This beautiful man Ian's going to play piano, and you're going to soak it all in. And here's the greatest part. These two lovely ladies sitting very close to the table, they're already uncomfortable. They got about an hour more of this. It's going to be a great night. You don't know me. I don't know you. This is a brand new thing we're doing here. And I like to think that we're all trying to be people that meant something to us when we were growing up. And every day I wake up and I try to be like Mr. Rogers. Do you know who Mr. Rogers is, ladies and gentlemen? Well, Mr. Rogers was just the greatest human being that ever existed. He taught us valuable things like be comfortable. Whenever he would get home, he would take off of his loafers and put on sneakers. He would take off the suit coat and put on the cardigan sweater. He was a religious man, but he did not preach to us. No, the only thing Mr. Rogers preached was kindness. Like, it's important to know your mailman, even if that mailman is named Mr. McFeely. So this is not crowd participation. Oh, it's okay, buddy. Me and him are going to be best friends, too. We're going to have two BFFs. Mr. Rogers taught us that it's important to feed the fish with a jazz score in the background. Remember the jazz score? It's a very fun jazz score. Mr. Rogers took us to crayon factories, and we learned about colors, and I want to be like that man, but I'm not. No. No, ladies and gentlemen, the looking glass, I am not like that man. Instead, I am more like Kanye West, and that's a bad thing. Though the man is fashionable, and he released probably the best album of the year, I also like to drink alcohol and take awards from 20-year-old blonde women. And that's a problem. I don't want to be like that. You think you want to be friends with Kanye West? No. He's the best, but he's also the worst. I don't want to be like that. I want to be more like Mr. Rogers. And that's why we're doing this show, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like throughout time, that doesn't make sense, every week, yes, that makes more sense, every week we can get together at this lovely establishment and listen to Ian play piano, and I got to talk to these wonderful guests, and I'll be more like Mr. Rogers. Be more calm. Be more collected, and it's not going to happen tonight. Instead, tonight we have wonderful guests that you're all going to enjoy. We have stand-up comic Kyle Martin, we have graphic novelist Molly Lawless, and we have absolutely gorgeous music from Janelle and Anthony. Ian Walzer is going to play piano. Ian, will you play something for me, please? Here we go. That was fantastic, Ian. I don't think it could have been any better. Ian and I are working out the kinks. This is the first show. Ian's going to grab that microphone. Ian's never been part of the show before. See, it's already a kink. The microphone is falling out of the stand. And we're competing with a very important Eagles game, so I think we're going to try our best, trying to stay positive, like the Holt study, stay positive. Check the mic.
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
The Eagles.
The Eagles are playing. If you've seen the show, if you've heard the show before, we end every interview with a question from the kids' book of questions. But since Ian and I are becoming fast friends, I'm going to ask him one of those questions. So, Ian, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
259.
259. Make believe that right now you have to pick the job you will have as an adult. What is the best job you can think of? What is the worst?
If I were an adult.
If you were an adult.
The best job that I would have is playing piano
with
Brandon Weatherby.
Hey, everybody.
As part of the You, Me, and Everyone program.
I like how no one that's even on the show can get the name of the show correct. You, Me, Them. I stole it from the Blues Brothers, sir.
If I were an adult, the worst job that I could have might be playing piano with Brandon Weatherby as part of the You, Me, and Everyone show.
So it's about even for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Give or take.
Thanks for doing this, buddy. we're a brand new show, and ladies and gentlemen, coming to the stage is a very, very funny stand-up. I beg of you to be respectful. I don't know how to say this without being real cruel. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Kyle Martin, everybody. Kyle Martin. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, Kyle, thanks for doing the first show in D.C. Whenever you do a first show, you're really just fighting people. So thanks for doing this. I appreciate it. What made you want to be a stand-up comic?
Oh, well, I'm currently living the dream, fighting to, you know, get these people's attention.
This is real hard.
I mean, this is it. This is the apex of what I've been waiting for.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
No, it's not. I'll have to yell.
Why are you a stand-up?
Oh, really? Why did I want to be a stand-up? I think a lot of you all could relate to this, probably. It sucks going to the same place over and over 8 hours a day for 40 years straight.
Okay, that's very good.
That's it.
How do you like your hair?
Oh, my God. This does not take care of itself.
Has your hair ever been described as Ellen-like?
Ellen-like?
It's a good thing. She's a model.
You're in the right ballpark. Lesbian-like.
Yeah.
Lesbian-like. And I have, from behind, been called ma'am a number of times because I have a petite body. So that's something.
Have you ever had a weight problem?
A weight problem? Like anorexia.
Other way.
Other weight.
Overeater.
Overeater. Oh, yeah. Well, in college, I used to be a track runner and cross country runner, so I could really put away some food, Michael Phelps stuff. But
see, I don't like men like you.
Well, you know, do a sit up.
I'm very busy not working out. I don't want to do sit ups, sir. You know how hard it is to maintain these sweet bees I got?
I mean,
it's not going well.
Man boobs are in.
They're in my chest, sir. You got to get out of here, but before you get out of here, will you perform some stand up comedy for us?
That's why I'm here.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, standing up and telling funnies, Kyle Martin, everybody.
All right. Thank you for that warm, half-hearted applause.
Hey.
There you go. This guy is here. All right. Yes. All right. You guys are a pretty young crowd, correct? You like mostly late 20s, early 30s, mid 20s, girl in the white sweater. Nothing from her. That's cool. I'm 28 now, and I'm at the age where a bunch of my friends are getting married. Are you guys around there? Is anybody in here actually married? I'm looking right at you. You stand out. No, it's great that you're out on a Thursday night. It's unbelievable. Because I had a buddy that got married last July, and he lived in the city for like 3 or 4 years. We went out every weekend immediately after getting married. Immediately, he moved to Leesburg. He just quit. He's 26 years old. He gave up. I was like, dude, why? Why are you moving to Leesburg is where blowjobs go to die. Like, why? It says it on the sign. That's last blowjob, 1812. That's what makes it a historic town. No, I couldn't grasp why he wanted to quit. I just was like, why are you moving to Leesburg, dude? And he's like, well, I can go out there. I can, you know, I can get a big house. I can get a big yard. I was like, a big yard? You're 26. What do you need a big yard for? Are you a slave owner? What the fuck are you doing with a big yard? Are you hiding bodies? Why? They'll catch him. They'll catch it. They always catch everyone. I watch the crime shows. You're not going to get away with shit if you're hiding bodies. I love the, especially the true crime shows, because those shows are just astounding to me. They'll have a cold case from, like, 1970. They'll find a pube. It breaks it wide open. I'm watching. I was like, oh, my God. It was a bank robbery. Like, why? Where there are pubes everywhere. That just makes no sense on any level. It's ridiculous. Every single case works out for the cops. That just doesn't seem feasible to me. I remember when we were kids, there was a show called Unsolved Mysteries. You remember that? It was an hour-long show of them just going, oh, we got no idea. We got nothing. We are the worst police ever. Listen, here's a phone number. Give us a call. You could make detective from your couch. Just, we're the worst. I won't watch any crap on TV that's out there. It doesn't matter. Sports, documentary. I will get into commercials, too. Subway had this commercial where they were advertising that they were hiring for positions. And at the end of the commercial, they said, join our sandwich artist team. They called them sandwich artists. Artists of sandwiches. Their medium is meat, cheese, and bread. I don't know why we had to give them a job title. It makes no sense to me. What was wrong with just the dude that makes the sandwich? Because if you think about it, artists are like creative, really intelligent. They think differently. They take weird stuff. I don't want an artist making my sandwich because they'll just do weird shit to it. I'll ask for like a spicy Italian. I get to the register, they just hand me like a videotape of them dancing on the beach. It's black and white. There's like fire in the background. I'm like, what is this? I'll ask for the Subway Club. They just hand me bread with poop smeared on it. I'm like, I don't want to eat this. You don't get it, man. I'm an artist. But no, they gotta twist it any way they can, don't they? Any marketing person that gets involved always puts a twist on everything. I was buying toilet paper, and I go with the Charmin Ultra, because, yeah, it'll improve your day. If you get the stuff with the aloe already mixed in, Jesus Christ. And they're aware of this. They know how good their product is, because I was reading the back of the Charmin Ultra, and it said, it's not just a toilet paper, it's a premium bath tissue that the entire family can enjoy. It's bringing families together in this economic crisis. But they didn't stop there, they kept going. They said, you know, it's premium bath tissue that the entire family can enjoy, and it feels so good you'll want to use more. Feels so good you'll want to use more. Do you realize the audacity? You're done wiping. And you're like, fuck, I'm going to keep going. That was amazing. Feels so good you'll want to use more implies that toilet paper could potentially be an addiction. But think about it. They sell toilet paper as if it's an addiction because whatever fix you need, they have that amount for you. You know, they have like the big 48-pack, they have the 36-pack, the 24-pack, the 18-pack, the 12-pack. Then they have the 6-pack, the 4-pack. And then they have the 1-pack. It's not even a pack. You can buy one roll of toilet paper. Who's buying one roll? You don't go cold turkey. That's... People aren't going up to the counter like, no, this is it for me. This is my last one. Just spring for the 4-pack. You'll be shitting the next 60 years. I haven't seen that one on Intervention yet where the woman's just sprawled out on the front lawn and the husband's taking the kids to grandma's because she got into the toilet paper. So yeah, marketing. I feel like I love watching people screw their lives up with missed opportunities when they could have easily been like millionaires. Let me ask you a question. How pissed off do you think the KKK was at the success of the Snuggie? They had to be a little upset, right? It was like right there the whole time. They had to be watching that on TV like, ah, we could have been millionaires. Ah, I could have been racist and comfortable. Damn it. You know I love leopard print. They're just idiots. They hate everyone, and they let it get in their way of million-dollar inventions that they were wearing the whole time. They're just dumb. They could never live in D.C. They just hate all the time because of the shit you'd overhear. I was walking down in DuPont on 17th Street, and there was this dude on the other side of the street, clearly gay, and here's why. He was on his phone. He was one of those dudes that doesn't censor himself on any level. Like, he could be in a bar or in a daycare. He's going to say the same exact thing. It doesn't matter. He's just going to be like, no, that kid's an asshole. Fuck that kid. No. He's a fucking asshole. I don't care. He was walking down the street, and he was on his cell phone, and I was on the other side of the street, and he's just talking real loud, and he's like, Steven, listen to me, Steven. Listen to me. Just listen to me, Steven. Just listen to me. Steven, just listen to me. Just listen to me, Steven. Steven, just suck his dick. Just suck his dick. It's just dick. Just suck it. It's just dick. Just suck his dick. Just put it in your mouth and suck his dick. Just suck it. Suck his dick. Dick, 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 dick. Yeah, it was Steven. You're right. I'm glad you were listening. But it made me wonder the same. Like, everybody on the street just stopped, and they're like, oh, my God, how can you walk down the street just doing, suck his dick, just suck it. Nobody understood it, but my mind went to, he even had, like, this little dick-sucking walk. He's like, suck his dick, woo. He's swinging around lampposts. It was like Singing in the Rain set to Dick. Just sucking on some dick. I couldn't understand it. And everybody else on the street was like, oh, my God, covering kids' ears and freaking out. But my mind went to this whole other place where I was like, what's happening on the other end of that phone? All I could picture was there's two dudes in a room. One's on the phone like, I don't want to suck some dick. The other dude is standing there with his dick out. That's where my mind went. And the dude on the phone is just like, I don't want to suck some dick. Just suck it. Just suck his dick. It's just dick. Dude, I don't want to suck his dick. I know it's just dick, but it's not just dick. It's going to be dick in my mouth. Just suck it. Just suck his dick. It's just dick. You know you want to suck his dick. Dude, I'm not even gay. Oh. It's just dick. Just suck his dick. You don't peer pressure someone into dick unless it's a girl and it's my dick. That's the rule I made up. Like cigarettes, drugs, alcohol, that's what you peer pressure. Not into dick. It's just, it's unacceptable. If you're at a party and there's like cocaine going around at that party, some people are like, nah, that's really not for me. And other people will be like, yeah, I'll have a little of that. But if you're at that same party and you walk by a room with 10 dudes and all their dicks are out, you're not going to be like, oh, fellas, what do you got there? Is that new dick stuff? You'll never wake up the next day like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have had that last dick, dude. Oh, my God. I'm never sucking dick again. That's a 4-minute dick joke.
Ladies and gentlemen, please suck his dick or put your hands together for Kyle Martin, everybody. Kyle Martin. All right. So we have a tag for the podcast. Oh, yeah, we're recording this. So, yeah. This is awkward for everyone. All right. Coming up next. Why would you clap to that? That's just confusing now. Now you're just confusing the audience. Coming up next is a very talented graphic novelist, cartoonist, all-around fancy person. Please put your hands together for Molly Lawless, everybody. Molly Lawless. Thank you, Ian. Ian, you're fantastic. Thanks for doing this, man. You're delightful. Molly?
Yes?
You could talk in it.
Hello.
Hello. Molly, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
How long have you been a cartoonist, graphic novelist? What should I refer to you as?
Cartoonist works. Cartoonist.
Wonderful.
You know, I've been cartooning for my whole life. And okay. I've really only been doing the comics thing for the past maybe 4 years, 5 years.
What's the difference between cartooning and the comics?
I guess there's none.
Okay.
Well, cartooning is doodling.
You have a daily strip, and that's entitled Frog and Owl.
Yes.
Why do you like doing a daily strip, or do you like doing a daily strip?
You know, I just started doing it to see if I could, and I figured when I get sick of it, I'll stop. Okay. And it's kind of addictive. Like toilet paper.
You're not. It's a callback, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, callback.
You're not sick of doing it.
Not yet. I mean, it's a little work, but not so much that I can't handle
it's
it.
It's very cute. It's very funny. It's clever.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it. What initially drew me to your work is that you're working on a graphic novel about, or how should I refer to it, is old-timey baseball.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Because I'm very fascinated by that. Most people aren't. There's a reason for that.
Yes.
Why do you like old-timey baseball, and why draw it?
Well, I was a big baseball fan growing up.
Okay.
And
you grew up in Boston.
I grew up in Boston, so I was a big Red Sox fan when I was a kid, like really young. And on the off-season, I just realized that I needed more baseball.
Yeah.
There was no baseball. Where is the baseball? So I started reading these old baseball books that my father had around, baseball encyclopedias. And I was really nerdy and weird, and I got really obsessive and memorized a lot of things. But I got really into
an obscure baseball fact that only you know, or probably only you know?
Oh, gosh, there are a lot.
One.
How about Babe Ruth's slugging percentage?
There you go. What is it?
690.
That's pretty good.
I mean, they may have changed it.
Is that the greatest of all time?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
But he did not have the highest batting average of all time.
Were you a Babe Ruth fan? Could you be as a Red Sox fan? Is that possible?
I was. Well, he was the first baseball player I got really obsessed with. I'm talking about like I was 9 years old,
well,
8 years old.
So is that because he kind of looks like Santa?
Maybe.
And he drinks and smokes like Santa.
Yeah.
And he cheats on his wife like Santa.
Yeah, and gets venereal diseases like Santa.
Yeah. He's jolly.
Yeah.
But you're doing a book specifically about a very awful, one of the darkest parts of baseball.
Yeah.
What happened?
Real feel-good story.
Yeah, it's great.
It's about the only baseball player who was ever killed by a pitch ball.
Yeah.
Major league baseball player. So Ray Chapman is the player, and that happened in 1920. And I read a book about it, and the story about both the pitcher and the guy who died, both stories are, they just were really interesting to me. I thought there was a great story there, and since I like cartooning, I had done some baseball cartoons, I thought it would be, cool to do a book about it. So,
is there a big market for old-timey baseball cartoons?
You know, there's more interest in it than I would have thought.
Really?
I think it's more like, I like doing it so much that it ends up being interesting to people. You know what I mean? Like kind of, you know, following my bliss, so to speak.
Oh, look at this. I understand completely.
Yeah.
I feel it tonight. This is so hard. You're a delightful guest.
Well, thank
you for doing this. We're not done. You're far from over. I feel bad for you right now.
Uh-oh.
This is why I got to come to the live show, because there's just certain things we're not going to say on the microphone. I'm going to tell Ian outside later, we're going to drink all night, buddy.
Hey, buddy, I love baseball.
Molly and I are going to bond over this, but you'll never know until you were here. See, Molly, you've never seen the old show. In Chicago, in the old show, I'd be screaming. But I'm trying to do this whole new persona thing. It's not working. I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I
and congratulatory. And, like, I like you. You're great. But, you know what I mean? It's a tangent. Let's get back on track here. You're also a runner.
Yes.
Why do you run?
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things you can't explain.
Like, are you addicted to it?
Yes.
Do you do it daily?
Not daily. I'm trying to wean myself off a little bit. I did 2 marathons in 6 months, and now
what marathons did you do?
I did Boston and Marine Corps.
Which was harder, or were they like the same?
Boston was harder.
Is it hillier? Is it hotter? What's the deal?
It was hillier in different places.
That's
very fascinating.
No,
I know.
No, I think it's very fascinating because I know a lot of graphic novels that look more like me and not like you. Because you have a loving husband. You run. You don't got blanket acne. I'm assuming you're not like Babe Ruth full of VD and meat. I don't know, though. You might be.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much you don't know about
me. That's true. What's the ultimate goal for you?
Oh, the ultimate goal. I guess to keep doing what I'm doing and get better at it and still like it and have more people like it as I'm doing it. I want a positive experience for everybody.
Okay. Is it possible to be a Nationals fan?
I don't think so. I think.
Are you still a Boston fan?
You know, I care very little about current baseball. I mean, if I was going to pick a team, it would be Boston. But once they won the World Series, yeah. I kind of was like, I'm not really into it anymore.
Oh, I get that. I don't know.
Cubs, though, huh?
Yeah, Cubs. It's great. It's going great. Why would you boo? They boo. You don't need to boo the Cubs. The Cubs boo themselves every year. It's pretty much just sad.
Yeah.
102 years of sadness.
Johnny Evers. He's the man who did it to them. I'm convinced.
Who's from Tinkers to Evers to Chance? Stupid poem, everybody. Stupid.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking
horrible.
About? You
yeah.
probably know what I'm talking about. No one else in here knows what I'm talking about. Those are, you know what I'm talking about, Ian? Those are three.
Whoa.
If you're an old-timey baseball fan, you'll know, statistically speaking, only one of those men should be in the Hall of Fame.
I did a comic about it.
But there's a poem, and a poem gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
I got to write a poem about that table over there. We're going to... I'm going to fucking suck the shit out of all of them tonight. It's going to be a great... We're getting loot. See, this is me going to the old persona. I'm going to talk about stabbing soon. Molly, you're great. You're fantastic. I'm just looking over, and Ian and Molly staying calm. Molly, we're going to end this interview before I ruin your cred with a question from the Kids Book of Questions. So, Molly, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
Okay. How about 20?
20.
Hope Ian, an easy one.
This is, your music is so calming.
It is.
I love it.
He's great.
If you could choose any bedtime you wanted for the next year, what time would you pick? Any bedtime next year.
Every
it's coming night. Up. 2011, the year of our Lord.
Oh, God.
Of bedtimes.
11?
You pick 11 p.m. or a.m.?
I don't know.
Any 11.
11 p.m.
I'm going to go on a bender, 11 a.m. I'm going to sleep at night. Where can people find you on the internets?
You can go to mollylawless.com.
Mollylawless.com. Anything else?
No, I had a great time. Thank you very much.
Thanks
for
lying to me. I appreciate that. No, Molly Lawless, everybody, please clap for Molly
Thanks,
Lawless.
Everyone.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for sticking around, everybody.
I'm on the fence right now. Oh, I want to say so many things, and I'm trying to be nice. No, I shouldn't say it. No. No, because it's a beautiful crowd. It's a beautiful bar. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to make you mad. I'm just going to keep it to myself. See? No, I can't do it. Okay. We're going to have a good time. Coming up is Janelle and Anthony. When I brought the show to D.C., there's about four people that everyone told me to book, and these guys were number one on the list, and I'm really excited to experience their music. What a dick, experience their music, to listen to what they play. The end. So we're going to speak. Why am I introducing it like this? This is very weird. We're off the tracks already. Just thinking. Okay. You want to talk on a microphone, Janelle? Janelle, here's a microphone.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Why do you do this? Why do you play cello?
I saw it in my twin sister's hands when we were...
So you have a twin sister that also played cello?
Yeah.
Does she still play cello?
No.
Is she jealous of your abilities?
I took it from her.
Same cello?
Yeah. We fight about it all the time.
What does she do now?
She's evangelical.
What's that?
I don't know.
Okay. Your music, you describe it as experimental. Why? It doesn't sound experimental. It sounds good. I associate experimental with really bad wankery.
Ooh.
I
Ouch.
Know. I'm judgmental.
There's beautiful stuff in improvisation. And to experiment and expand your instrument, which is what I'm doing with the cello, and also Anthony does with his guitar. He's kind of more or less expanding his instrument with different timbres and textures and different kind of soundscapes and such. So it's adventures and improvisation, basically when we say experimental.
Thank you for classing up the show, number one. You're delightful. I'm now staring at Anthony's 12-string Dan Electro that I obsessed over in... is it a Dan or no?
It's a Jerry Jones.
It's a Jerry Jones. I obsessed over the Dan version of that. It only had two lipstick pickups in high school. I'm a geek. I love your guitar, sir. One other question before we end the interview. You also score films.
Yeah.
Do you approach scoring films differently than you approach playing a show?
It's instinctual.
It's what?
Instinctual.
Is it?
But the thing I'm doing right now is a short film about a little boy watching his mother give him a recipe in Italian. And it's gruesome because she's making a roasted pig. And she has to butcher the pig, and the child is going into his imagination about what is happening in his mind while she's butchering the pig. So it's amazing.
It's feel good.
It's a feel good film.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful, and it's kind of beautiful in a certain way.
Well, it's cello in an Italian film. Of course, it's going to be beautiful.
Well,
I'm
not even playing cello in it, but
what are you playing?
Atonal piano and interesting strings.
Oh, you guys are such musicians.
It's weird.
I just bang on instruments until they make sound. It's not good.
That's perfect.
No, it's not. Okay. Let's end this interview because you look very awkward right now. You're not having a good time, are you?
I'm doing really well.
Are doing well. I think you're doing much better than you think. Jill, I need you to pick a number between 1 and 260.
15.
Why 15?
I don't know.
Neither do I. Okay. Some adults have a lot of trouble enjoying themselves. Not you. I'm your friend. That might change. Some adults have a lot of trouble enjoying themselves. If you were asked to give them some advice about how to play and have more fun, what would you say?
You should play the guitar.
They should play the guitar?
Or the cello.
Or the cello. I think you're just self-serving.
Yeah, basically.
I think you're just showing off because most people can't play guitar and cello like you two.
I was expecting a very serious interview, actually.
No, you weren't. So. No, you weren't. I said it was going to be all about dick jokes, but the comic already covered that. So, give me the microphone.
Okay.
You were delightful. Anthony, I'm sorry you don't get to talk in the microphone. Do you want to scream something so people can say hello? The answer is no. Okay. People can find you online where?
Janelle and Anthony at MySpace. It's like Jane with an L, or JanellaPine.com or AnthonyPirog.com.
And I recommend going to their personal sites because they have a lot of recordings you can listen to, and they're quite good. Ian, will you come up here and play a little bit of piano while we set these guys up?
Let's do it.
Wonderful. Stick around for Janelle and Anthony, everybody. Stick around. Ian, piano. We're going to do it together. I'm talking weird. These room mics. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sticking around. Please put your hands together for Janelle and Anthony, everybody. Janelle and Anthony. Thank you. Janelle and Anthony, everybody. Thank you. Janelle and Anthony, that's correct. Thank you for not leaving. Thank you for staying. Thanks to all the guests. Ian was great on piano. Janelle and Anthony were great. Molly was great. Kyle was great. Go to all of their respective websites. And thanks for listening and have a wonderful evening.